Now, federal cabinet is expected to consider proposals for an East Coast gas reserve today. Manufacturers and unions have been calling for the policy, but it has faced opposition from some gas exporters. It comes as the government is also reportedly considering buying bulk gas to sell at subsidised prices to parts of the domestic market. Amandine Dennis-Ryan is the Australia CEO for the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis. Amandine, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you, Mel. Good morning.
Now, the government is going to be considering several options. What do you think would be the most simple and effective way to have a gas reserve on the East Coast?
Yes, sure. Well, the government is reportedly considering two main models of domestic reservation mechanisms. Option one is an export licensing system, which would require LNG producers to provide gas to the domestic market to be allowed to export. Option two would apply domestic requirements to all gas producers, so also covering producers which currently only supply gas domestically. So that would essentially allow LNG producers to use domestic-only producers to meet their domestic obligations. So we believe that option one is far superior because it's simpler to implement, it could be rolled out faster, and it's most likely to bring additional supply to the market. It would also bring in cheaper gas to the domestic market and would be more likely to push prices down. But to increase the likelihood of price decreases, we believe that option one should include clauses to regulate selling practices and contracting behavior in addition to the gas volume requirements. And that's because uncompetitive behavior by LNG producers has been one of the key drivers of high prices.
If we went along the line of an export permitting system, that would really see an impact on the three big exporters, Santos, Origin and Shell. But some of their circumstances are a bit different. Santos is still buying a lot of gas in the domestic market to fulfil its export contracts, whereas Origin and Shell haven't had to do that. How would an exporting system affect those companies? Would there be a difference between how Santos would receive that compared to Origin and Shell?
Yes, absolutely. And it's actually been really interesting to see that there's been actually quite a strong support for a domestic reservation scheme from several LNG producers because they already contribute large volumes of gas to the domestic market and they see the current crisis as a danger for their social license to operate. The main company that will be affected is Santos through their GLNG project because it's really largely responsible for how bad the situation has become. Santos decided to build two LNG trains when they only had enough gas for one, and they committed all of the production through a long-term contract. So that means that GLNG has actually been taking 2 years' worth of domestic demand from the domestic market in the last 9 years. So we really need to make sure that this type of behaviour doesn't happen anymore.
For years, Japan has been on selling Australian gas at a profit. It's certainly become a significant revenue base for Tokyo. How much of this is a sore point for Australia, or is that just the reality of dealing in an international commodity?
Well, I mean, this is definitely a problem for Australia when we are now facing gas shortfalls on both the East Coast and the West Coast. So, you expect some trading happening in the world, but the situation with Japan is that Japan has actually been trying to influence domestic policy when it comes to gas markets, arguing that they need Australian LNG for their energy security. But actually what we found is that they on sale about a third of the gas they buy from Australia. So there's a large margin before decreasing LNG exports that's affecting Japan's energy security.
I'm Melissa Clark here on Radio National Breakfast. I'm speaking with Amandine Dennis-Ryan from the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis. This is as the federal government is considering proposals for an East Coast gas reserve. How long would it take feasibly to get a reservation policy, wherever the government might land, up and running? How long does it take to implement a new system?
Well, I'm not exactly sure in this particular case, but we believe that option one could probably be rolled out reasonably quickly because it only really affects three LNG producers, and they could probably be a reasonably short consultation period, and then the implementation of the mechanism itself would be quite simple. Option two would affect a lot more companies and would likely take more time.
What about infrastructure? Because as much as more gas is needed in the domestic system to bring prices down, we keep hearing that there's already a lot of pipe work that's at capacity on the East Coast. Would there need to be more infrastructure development to go with any kind of reservation scheme?
Yeah, well, our team has actually looked at that question, and what they found is that there's already enough planned upgrades to the current pipelines to allow the gas from the from Queensland to flow down south until the early 2030s. So pretty much if the government provides the certainty that that gas will be coming, it's likely that the pipeline companies would implement those upgrades. When it comes to then the later 2030s, we have a bit more time to figure out if we need more infrastructure or if we can act on the demand side.
And look, we currently have a number of different mechanisms in place that the government has put in to try and safeguard supply. Could they be scrapped once a reservation policy is in place? Or do you still need some kind of leverage over gas exporters? You still need a big stick of some sort.
Well, I mean, a lot of the mechanisms that have been introduced today have just not worked. So it's probably better to now take the opportunity to implement a mechanism that does everything that we need it to do. And that's why we think, you know, you should look at not only the volume, but also the selling practices of LNG producers within this mechanism.
Amandine, Dennis, Ryan, thank you very much for joining us on Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.